Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, hello, everybody. What is going on? Happy Friday. We made it. Welcome into First Take as we head into this final weekend of the NFL regular season. I'm Charlie Arnold with my guys, Ryan Clark and Dominic Foxworth. Monica McNutt and Kendrick Perkins also going to be here in just a bit to talk about that epic finish between the Knicks and the Celtics last night. So New York stand up. But first, guys, look, we all know one thing. When you have a story dealing with Antonio Brown, it never really goes away that quickly. And today we have even more developments to get into. So y'all ready for this?
Why not?
Man. Let's do it. All right, as of yesterday, AB has officially been released by the Bucks organization. Also, we got some clarification from head coach Bruce Arians as to what went down on the field with AB. Brown claimed he was too hurt to continue playing on an injured ankle and as a result was kicked out of the game and cut from the team. But Arians is denying this, saying Brown was throwing a fit on the sideline for his own selfish reasons. Listen.
At no point in time during that game did he ever asked a trainer or a doctor about his ankle. He never went through, that's the normal protocol. You go through protocols during games. I was never notified of it. He was very upset at halftime about who was getting targeted. Got that calmed down. Players took care of that. It started again on the sideline. We called for the personnel group that he had played in the entire game. He refused to go in the game. That's when I looked back and saw him basically wave off the coach. I then went back, approached him about what was going on. I ain't playing. What's going on? I ain't getting the ball. That's when I said, you're done. Get the F out of here.
He accused you of making a throat slash.
I don't know. Is that a throat slash? That's all it was.
Just to be clear, you would not force a player to play.
You can't force a player to play. I mean, they have that choice. It's their body.
You know, just saying, Bruce Arians doesn't strike me as a throat-slashing kind of guy, so I kind of believe him when he says that he was making that movement instead. Guys, but let's get into the subject. Ryan, what do you make of this Bucks AB back and forth that we've got going on here?
I mean, it's a lot, right? It's starting to seem like a freestyle battle. You know, right now I'm waiting for, you know, Papa Doc and I'm waiting for Bunny Rabbit to come out. But when you look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they ain't really seem like they wanted to address this any further from what you saw after the game. And then when Antonio Brown comes out with his statement and saying that he was hurt and he's kind of pointing the finger at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, now you have to answer. Now you have to respond, which really isn't what you want to be doing at this point of the season.
Yeah.
Right. This is a team that's trying to get prepared to play without Chris Godwin. And Antonio Brown was supposed to be a huge part of that. And right about now, on the Full Send podcast, Antonio Brown's going to sit down with Bob Minnery and some of those guys, and he's going to say that Bruce Arians and Tom Brady were only his friends or were only on his side because he was good at football. Well, hell yeah, that's why they were on your side. There wasn't any other things that would make them really truly want to be your friends or want to be associated with you other than the fact that you are really, really good at football. And if that they could get you in pads and get you to the stadium, you are normally one of the more dominant wide receivers that have ever played the game. And that's what it's about. And so now the back and forth and the talking and focusing on this isn't really what the Tampa Bay Buccaneers want to be doing. Now, AB understands the spin of everything. He understands how he has to take some of the focus off of what we last saw, right? Because the visuals are so important. The last thing we saw was him doing jumping jacks, sliding out of the stadium with no shirt on, throwing the peace sign, and then jogging pretty well into the locker room. So now he has to make sure the spin is what he wants it to be in order to get another opportunity to play ball and for somebody else to forgive him because he's an elite talent. But for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, this is all bad, all wrong, and it's at the wrong dang time.
Yeah, I mean, and it's if it's a freestyle battle, there are two really bad rappers going at it right now because Bruce Arians don't have no bars, and I listened to that song that AB put out that night. He ain't got no bars.
Oh,
either.
No.
Hey, Pit No Palace.
It's just, it's unfortunate. I'm not saying that I can spit, but I'm not putting out music. That was not fun. Like, he had the whole world's attention. And he was like, we were like, what do you want us to do, AB? What do you want us to do? He was like, listen to this. And then I played it and was like, nah, that ain't hitting on
but
nothing,
bro. But you gave it a shot. I gave it one spin.
I threw that man four nickels for whatever that spin was worth. He can have it. But I think as far as what happened in the game, the problem is there's nobody to be sympathetic towards right now. Like, there's nobody to defend. I mean, Arians had all this information. Brady had all this information, the type of guy he was.
Yeah.
You frankly gave this information out well before anybody else was ready to accept it, having been in the locker room with him. They had this. So, like, I'm sorry. I don't have any sympathy for you. I'm not going to cape up for them in this moment because AB did AB things in that moment. Certainly can't defend AB for what he was doing, because as much as I think that we should have sympathy and the mental health stuff comes up a lot, none of us are professionals. None of us are capable of diagnosing him. If that's what he, if he has some issues going on, I hope he gets the help. I hope he gets better. But that does not absolve you of the guilt of the decisions that you made in that moment. Like, you can have lots of reasons for why things happen, but if people have expectations of you, you cannot fulfill those expectations, that's fine. And I'm tempted to believe AB because about the injury situation, because as a former player, like, I know coaches, some coaches, they ain't worth nothing and they don't care about you. And they will put you out there in those situations. Like, that happens all the time. I would believe that. That's not unrealistic. The problem is AB has such a track record that he makes it so hard to believe him. But even if I'm going to believe him, that in that moment he was like, I'm hurt, AB don't need a trainer to tell him that his ankle is messed up or whatever. If AB is being honest in that moment, he's saying, I'm hurt, I can't go out there right now. Bruce Arians' response to that is get off the team. That's unacceptable from Bruce Arians in my view. But then AB, once he was in that moment, he might have got sympathy from me. He might have got some defense from me if we found out later that AB walked peacefully to the locker room and later they were like, what happened? He said, I was hurt. I couldn't go out there. Then the coach said, get off my team. And I walked in the locker room. I would have caped for AB at that moment, or at least said, look, this is what happens. That's unfair. That's his body. He knows what he's doing. He's an all pro. He's not making this stuff. Even given his track record, I probably would have found myself giving him the benefit of the doubt. But what he did in that moment makes it really hard to defend him, because he like made a spectacle of the whole situation. And so many things like this and worse than this happen behind closed doors on NFL teams. I know you got stories. I got plenty of stories. When they happen in the locker room, when they happen on the practice field, we get over it. You cannot do it on national TV and have it playing on a steady loop on ESPN for the following week. That is going to embarrass your coach, embarrass your team, and they can't bring you back at that point. Not that he wanted to come back, and it's going to hurt your chances going forward. Particularly, and not that any of this was wrong. Once he left, he doing Instagram videos, pointing people to rap videos. That's choices you can make. That's fine. If that's what you want to promote, that's what you're going to do. That's not wrong. But you understand, and I tell this to my kids all the time, and I have to remind myself of that. There are consequences for your decisions, whether they are fair or not fair. Like, AB know the game that he playing. He knows when he does things are going to hurt him.
Yeah. AB got full understanding, y'all. AB is actually very intelligent. And when you see some of these things seem really planned out, right? And so I know many times you're going to get the pushback. Like, everybody wants to say that something is wrong and that you have to give people time and you have to understand that people have mental issues. We don't get to diagnose those. What we get to do on our shows and what we get to do with our job is analyze people's actions as they pertain to football. As they pertain to football, what Antonio Brown did was unprecedented. Now, a coach telling a guy to get off the effing field because they don't want to play because they don't think they're necessarily hurt and some of those things, we have seen all of those things happen. But we know from other incidents that when you have video evidence, right, or when you can go back to the film and watch it, you get a different feeling from it, right? You get a different reaction. If we're just listening to these two stories because something happens at halftime in the locker room and Antonio Brown never comes back out of the locker room, I think every former player will sit here and say, you know what? We've seen coaches do some of the things that Antonio Brown is talking about. We've seen players have to defend themselves against coaches who don't believe or against trainers who don't believe or against doctors who don't believe that they're in the position that they're in. When I was dying in Pittsburgh, I had a doctor come up to me and read my test out and tell me that nothing was wrong with me, even though I went from 205 pounds. At the time, I was 170 pounds. And he handed me the paper and he said, now I'll listen to you complain. Right? At that moment, I didn't want to jump up and take my shirt off and throw the peace sign. I wanted to jump up and take his shirt off and throw him out the window. But I couldn't do that. Because at that point, it would be my word against his word, and you would be wrong. We've seen those type of situations. But when a guy does what Antonio Brown does, that is embarrassing to the team, that is embarrassing to himself, that is embarrassing to his teammates, it's almost something that you cannot repair. I believe that if Antonio Brown doesn't come out for the second half, Antonio Brown is playing for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers again this week. I think Antonio Brown knows that as well. And that's why the things went down the way that they are, and that's why the subsequent actions has been what they have as well.
I mean, the climate in the football locker room is a very, very dangerous one in many ways. And I understand all the things that you're saying. You've experienced it. The story that you told when you were literally about to die, they said, nah, you good, until they finally found out what was really going on. Like, that's a real thing. And I believe that to be the case in the Tampa Bay locker room. Also, Bruce Arians himself is out there coaching on a torn Achilles. Like, the idea that they believe that you
should,
that everybody, they can't have nothing. And I could understand if I'm in that situation and they like, your ankle hurt, get out there. I could understand wanting to lash out. But again, he's entitled to go get whatever help he needs to get right, to do all these things. But frankly, none of us are entitled to have a job at wherever we think we deserve that job. There are some things you got to do and some things you can get away with. And his talent is not such that he can get away with as much as he's done so far.
Oh, yeah. Well, and he's not helping his case at all either, because the team has made it very clear over the course of this week they've tried to reach out to him, scheduled doctor's appointment, an orthopedic specialist appointment. Antonio Brown has not owned up to any of that. He hasn't showed up to any appointments. So if you're really
either.
That injured, then go to the appointment. At least show that you're willing
that
to make
don't
that
knock
effort.
At
but
all.
As of yesterday, officially released from the organization. So let's leave it there, because we got to talk about Green Bay. And the question here is, guys, is the grass greener outside of Green Bay? Because right now it sure does not look like it. The Packers have already clinched the NFC. Aaron Rodgers putting together an MVP-worthy campaign. And they finished out the season playing the Lions. But even so, Rodgers still has not made up his mind about next season and says it's a fluid situation, just like it was this past offseason.
It's greener where you water it. I really believe that. And, you know, that's an adage to dissuade people from going out and taking risks and chances. You know, I think that where you spend your time and energy and what you choose to water will always be the greenest part of your life. And I decided, you know, when I came back, that I was going to be all in with the team and all in to see things move forward to a better place. And that's what the conversations were about. You know, during the offseason, was about being a part of those conversations that impact my ability to do my job. And, you know, from one of the first days, Brian and I sat down and got on the same page, and it's been a really nice fall and winter. I appreciate, you know, his approach, how it's been, and it's been very meaningful to me. So I'm thankful for that relationship, where it's at this point, and that's made, you know, made my life that much more enjoyable.
Okay, so this season has been a smooth one for Rodgers in Green Bay, but he hasn't made up his mind. So, Neek, what is the better situation for Rodgers, for him to stay where he is or leave for another team? Now, all this provided with the assumption that retirement, which he has tossed around, isn't actually a viable option.
Well, I mean, the grass is greener where you water it. Like, I love a metaphor as much as the next guy, but, like, I'm not sure that this applies to this current situation. So, I think that, like, from a standpoint of winning another championship, I think staying in Green Bay is the right choice, given the talent that they have around him. But I think, given what Aaron Rodgers has, like, expressed, the desires that he's expressed, one of it, or the biggest one, most important one, it seems like he wants more control and more influence, something that Green Bay has been unwilling to give him up until this point. Like, I think it's probably more enticing to Aaron Rodgers to go somewhere else and get that, to have success in a major city, in a major market, and to have the kind of roster construction power that it appears that Tom Brady has, to have that type of NBA LeBron level influence that his talent, he believes his talent should deserve. So, like, I understand the argument for him to stay there. Like, they've gone to three championships in back-to-back seasons, assuming they go this year. That's a great situation for him to be in. They got a great left tackle when he's healthy. They got one of the best receivers, if not the best receiver in football. The defense is talented and kind of up and down, but they have the ability to shut people down when really needed. So, like, this situation is great. But I'm not sure that that's that important to him at this point in his career. You see him waxing philosophical almost every week on McAfee's show. He has so many other things that appears going on in his mind. It feels like to me that he also said, after he dropped that metaphor on us, that that adage is meant to dissuade people from taking risk. So it doesn't even seem like, even though he put it out there to make it sound like it suggests that he wants to stay at home, he also put out there that that's a method of control, and he clearly is not down to be controlled.
Yeah, I mean, like, you could look at this and you kind of listen to the things that Aaron Rodgers are saying, and it does seem like they're always counter-arguments to themselves in one sentence or in one sit-down or in one interview. But what we look at with the Green Bay Packers before this season was an entanglement, right? It was Jada Pinkett. It was August Elsina. And then now you had to sit down. They got an opportunity to sit down at the red table and, you know, Will had that look on his face and Jada was trying to explain it to him. And it all seemed to work out as things go forward. We make great movies about Venus and Serena Williams and everybody's happy when we write a book. And so you look at Aaron Rodgers now, he's basically saying that Brian Gutekunst has kind of met him halfway. There's been compromises in who the Green Bay Packers have always been as it pertained to Aaron Rodgers, and they've sat down at the table together and done some of those things that Aaron Rodgers likes. But when you combine the ability or the willingness of the Green Bay Packers to extend themselves for Aaron Rodgers, and also the ability of this team, of this organization, of Matt LaFleur, to put people on the field that can allow and help Aaron Rodgers to win while he's out there, this is the place that he's supposed to be. Now, if you want some of those other cute things that Dominique is talking about, then you go away and do it. If you want to go win at an organization and kind of add to your legacy in the way that a Peyton Manning has or a way that a Tom Brady has, then that's something you can do as well. But nobody is truly going to love you like the first folks.
Yeah.
And the first folks still love Aaron Rodgers. And even though it wasn't the situation you really wanted to be in, they are doing their best to compromise and change. When y'all sat down at the counselor, the counselor says what Aaron Rodgers really wants is to be loved. He wants to be prioritized. He wants to be treated differently. And that's
so
his love language, Dom.
That's all we all, that's all
you
all
are
of
so
us
right.
want.
You are so right that Aaron Rodgers just had to let him know that I'm sexy. I go out in these streets and people are looking at me. Yeah, like I am a snack, Green Bay. They thought they was playing. And he went around and put on something sexy and walked around a little bit and then came back home. And now it appears that they are acting right. You are absolutely right. The Jada Pinkett, the entanglement idea was an interesting one because that put all this relationship stuff on the table. And you are right. But the issue is the backup that they got, Jordan Love, he not doing the thing the way that they wanted him to do it. So if Jordan Love was throwing the ball the way that he was supposed to throw the ball, it'd be a lot. This whole situation would pan out a little differently. They would let him walk the same way they sent current Hall of Famer Brett Favre packing because of Aaron Rodgers. So, like, it all comes down to the transactional nature of this relationship, whereas Aaron Rodgers wants it to be a lot more personal, and he feels like he deserves that respect. And they were like, we're not going to give it to you. And then he went out and proved to them that y'all going to give it to me or I'm going to blow this all up. So maybe the threat of it has fixed the situation in the fact that the guy that they brought in wasn't able to step into the role the way that they hoped that he would. And it has changed.
I think
so maybe he should.
Neek.
Dom, that's part. I'm sorry. Go ahead. You go ahead, Charlie.
No, Ryan, go ahead. I had a follow-up.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, the other thing about it, too, like, you mentioned Jordan Love's play, but Aaron Rodgers' play matters as well, right? You go out, you draft Jordan Love, you think that Aaron Rodgers is kind of on the way out. We see him on TV saying, well, yeah, it was a bad year for me, but that's a Pro Bowl year. That's a career year for other players. And then you win the MVP. He has a chance to win the MVP again. It was definitely MVP all-pro caliber play this season, and that makes you look at someone different, too. It was like, yeah, I did think you were getting a little long in the tooth. Yeah, I did think you were getting a little old, that the skills were diminishing a bit. But now he's playing some of the best football he's ever played. And for much of his career, many have thought that he was the best quarterback we'd ever seen.
Okay, Neek, here's my question. Hypothetically, the Packers go on to win the Super Bowl this year. What do you think Rodgers should do in that case?
Leave.
Like,
I mean, Yeah, I think if he doesn't win the Super Bowl, it's harder to leave than if he does win the Super Bowl. I feel like at that point, you have given everybody anything they could ask for. You leave on a high note at that point. I don't know. This is my point. I can't climb into Aaron Rodgers' head, but it feels like there's a lot of other things besides winning a championship that are important to him at this moment. And, like, fulfill those things. You don't owe anything to anybody but yourself. He clearly believes that. I mean, when he is citing Atlas Shrugged, like, he believes these things. Hey, so go ahead and get on that.
Dom, if he wins the championship, if he wins the championship, Green Bay going to be sitting in their house like Eddie Murphy's dad was that night that he said he was drunk on when he was doing Raw. He going to say, they going to say, I know you want to leave me, but I refuse to let you go, Lillian. If I have to beg and plead to the symphony.
That's where I'm at.
Listen, hey, Green Bay is not going to just let Aaron Rodgers walk out of the door with the way that he's playing. And as you mentioned, Dom, with Jordan Love, even though it's only been one opportunity, having that opportunity and looking a little less than stellar.
Yeah, it wasn't just one opportunity. They see that man in practice, too. They weren't surprised by those couple of opportunities by what happened out there. I thought it was going to take us more than the first segment for this to go off the rails into full-on singing, but...
No, never. With you two, come on. We know better than that. But let's move on to our next topic, because we already know, guys, that Baker Mayfield is out for Week 18 with shoulder surgery. But could the quarterback be out of Cleveland for good? Mary Kay Cabot of the Cleveland Plain Dealer reports that if Mayfield, quote, doesn't get assurances that things will change next season, the quarterback will consider asking to be traded. Cabot reports this boils down to a rift with head coach Kevin Stefanski. In Mayfield, he does have 1 year left on his rookie deal at a salary of nearly $19 million. However, Baker shut down this report tweeting, quote, clickbait. You and many other Cleveland local media continue to be drama-stirring reporters with no sources or facts. Don't put words in my mouth so you can put food on your table. I'm not your prophet. Ryan, does Baker need a fresh start somewhere else given his struggles this season?
Absolutely. Baker needs a fresh start. Now, that doesn't mean that if Baker gets this fresh start, Baker is going to be a better quarterback. Right. But how many excuses are we going to make? How many times are we going to run this thing back? You know what? It was Hugh Jackson's problem, too. Right? Wasn't it? Also, it was Freddie Kitchens' problem, too. Oh, my God. He has Kevin Stefanski. The world is fixed. This is the perfect system for Baker Mayfield. An excellent run game, a boot play action game. Oh, my God. They have all these weapons. They're a preseason favorite to go and challenge Kansas City to be the AFC representative in the Super Bowl. Do we not remember all of those conversations? Do we not remember all of those debates and all of those opportunities we had before the season to talk about how great this was for Baker Mayfield? And now all of a sudden we got to blame it on everybody else? Wasn't it Odell's fault too? Y'all remember when Odell couldn't play, right? When Odell was the reason that the skilled players wasn't playing well, and then when Odell left, they played against Cincinnati and they scored 41 because Odell sucked, right? And because Odell was hurt. And because Odell couldn't score touchdowns no more. But y'all remember when Odell went to Los Angeles and he scored in like 5 of the 6 games?
Yeah, I remember.
That they have, and he all of a sudden looked good again? Oh, but y'all remember now people talking about the Cleveland Browns don't have the skilled players, or now we mad at Kevin Stefanski, even though Kevin Stefanski was coach of the year and he was all awesome and he made Baker Mayfield better and Baker Mayfield was now like Kirk Cousins was in Minnesota. Did I miss all that? All that junk change?
Yeah.
Right?
Nah,
so, yeah, Baker Mayfield need to go somewhere else because he ain't Cleveland. Do you know why people in Cleveland want Baker Mayfield to be the guy? The same reason if I was homeless and hungry that I would think a cheeseburger from McDonald's was a steak from Del Frisco's. Because I'm dang hungry. Because I'm tired of not eating.
Yeah.
That's why we've been trying to make Baker Mayfield the guy.
McDonald's is good.
They know it. Dom knows it. Charlie knows it. He is not the guy, and it's time for him to be somewhere else.
Well, I mean, I guess that depends on how the question is phrased. Does Baker need a fresh start is different than do the Browns need a fresh start? It sounds like you're arguing
that
Browns need a fresh start. Baker don't need to go nowhere because all the reasons that you just listed, they haven't changed. Stefanski's still there. That O-line, still one of the best in the league. All the weapons that they have, even minus Odell Beckham, they still got a ton of weapons, really young, talented weapons, good running back, an offense that's not completely relying on him. Then the other side of the ball, the defense is loaded too. They haven't lived up to it necessarily, but they got a ton of talent on defense. This roster, like, really doesn't have any deficiencies on it. with the exception of the way the quarterback played this year. You can excuse away his play if you want to with the injuries because he was much better in the previous season where they did not need as much from him. I understand all the arguments that you're making for why he should leave, and I could even cite when I started hearing that the Mary Kay Cabot report that he was going to force a trade, of course, the first thing that came to my mind was Carson Wentz. Like, who has the leverage to demand a trade when they're not good? And I don't remember anybody ever doing that other than Carson Wentz. And Carson Wentz left.
He said, when they're not good.
Got him a new situation, and it was fantastic for him. But the difference is Carson Wentz left a situation that was not very well built for him and went to a situation that was perfectly built for him. One yeah. that Baker's in right now. A great offensive line, a talented defense, an awesome running back. They don't ask very much of him. So if I'm Baker Mayfield or his representative, get healthy. Get healthy and pray that they don't get anybody else out here to ruin this perfect situation for you. Just get healthy. The bar is low for you right now. You just got to be a little bit okay.
Because he made the
just
bar
low. Just be a little
low.
Bit okay. Because the point that you made earlier, like you were not disparaging McDonald's hamburgers, but you're saying that it is not quite a top shelf steakhouse. Baker, just be a burger, baby. That's all you got to be. Just be a burger. You just got to be a burger next year. And they're going to be so happy because you're right. They are unhoused. They are starving. The Cleveland Browns fan base.
They ain't got no rooms.
The Cleveland Browns organization, they ain't in a minute. You gave them a little taste last year when you won a playoff game. And they was tall talking about, sign them up. And now they try to get rid of you. All you got to do, come back next year, be a full burger. You're going to get a big deal, and everything's going to be all right. That's it.
Going from a single patty to a double patty, right?
That's it. There you go. Add some cheese. No, add no cheese. Getting carried away. That's where Carson Wentz goes wrong. He tried to add some cheese and end up getting intercepted. Just be a burger.
No. The Colts are their whole value meal this season, okay? Just watch. Oh. The Colts are going to bring you the double cheeseburger, the Big Mac, the fries, the sundae, the large Coke,
Ooh,
okay?
Agreed.
They have it all, okay?
Agreed.
I know
agreed.
The McDonald's menu by heart also.
It's not Carson alone is the point. Don't try to put no cheese on it.
I'm giving
Let
it
Jonathan
to the Colts.
Jonathan Taylor provide the beverages and the fries.
Absolutely, that apple pie. Okay,
Ooh,
guys,
like
you like that? Okay, well, we have a lot more to get to ahead, but we do have to go to some hoops, so you guys sit tight.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/firsttake. That's amazon.com/firsttake to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Y'all, does it get any better than that? Last night, RJ Barrett became the first Knicks player to make a game-winning buzzer beater at the Garden since David Lee back in December of 2006, and it felt damn good. The triple completed a dramatic turnaround against the Boston Celtics, who the Knicks trailed by as many as 25. But despite all of this, star forward Julius Randle was not happy. Midway through the fourth quarter, Randle made a layup, and as he ran back to the other end of the court, he gave the sellout crowd a thumbs down as they cheered his name. And when he was asked about what message he was trying to get across to fans, Randle did not mince his words, saying, quote, "Shut the F up." Ooh, okay. the fire we need, and I know even more fire is going to be brought to this situation, because look who we have on board, Kendrick Perkins and Monica McNutt. Now, Kendrick, you already said you are in no mood, and that's the mood that we like you in. So let's get right into all of this. Before we actually talk about the game itself, Perk, what is your reaction to Julius Randle's outburst?
You know what? I'm a huge fan of Julius Randle. I think, you know, what he's shown the world over the last couple of years is a wonderful thing. But with that being said, Julius Randle was an all-star last year. Julius Randle won most improved last year. Julius Randle got a bag this summer. Now, what comes with all that is what? Responsibility and accountability. At the end of the day, Julius Randle hasn't been having the best season this year. Neither have the Knicks. So how you expect the fans to react? If you're not playing well, what they supposed to say? Keep good job. Keep up the good work. No, that's not how it goes. And so the problem that I have with not only Julius Randle, but a lot of these young players today is that they're so damn sensitive. Look, you signed up for this. This is part of it. This is part of it. And again, I love Julius Randle and the player that he is, a Texas boy repping in the NY and the NBA and doing this thing. But this is part of it, dog. Mm-hmm. This is part of it.
Perk, you so eloquently nailed that. I don't have an issue with it, though. I think, and mind you, this happened, I believe, in that third quarter while the Knicks were closing the gap. They had been down by as many as 25 points. I mean, I think that's the first time since 2004 they've come back from such a deficit. Back then it was 26. And so I don't mind the emotion. I think Julius has to understand everything that you just said, because there were high expectations set last year as most improved and an all-star. And quite honestly, this Knicks group, who remained intact at the core, has not lived up to those expectations. And so, yes, when you have fans of New York basketball that are astute and that are frustrated, the boos come. But I'm also not mad at Julius, and I appreciate him being honest in the postgame about what that was about. I'm okay with this push and pull from fans to players. If that's how you respond when you get booed, then let the boos rain down, because that was quite a showing of character and grit and toughness from that Knicks squad to ultimately come back and get the W.
Yeah, it was a huge comeback, so let's talk about that game. Monica, was last night more about a Knicks comeback, or was it about the Celtics collapse?
It was about the Knicks comeback from where I sit. I mean, this is a Celtics squad that has struggled all season. And quite honestly, Charlie, I was sitting on the couch ready for overtime and concerned about how things would plan out. And so down the stretch, it's crazy because one play prior to RJ hitting that incredible shot. And I would like to get on my TED talk about using the glass, because it is an art that is lost. The glass is amazing, people. And that was a perfect demonstration of that. But prior to that, I'm sitting in the house like, okay, so what's up with the middle school press break? You barely get the ball in bounds in what is a tightly contested ball game in the waning moments. And so I think to get that execution down the stretch, it showed such tremendous maturity on RJ's part, who has kind of been up and down from behind the three-point line over the course of the season, although he was 2 of 4 from last night. And then post-game, you saw Miles McBride tweet out that RJ works on that shot. And so that was a huge moment. But the collective, Evan Fournier's performance, please let him play the Boston Celtics in the Garden in particular all season, because he's terrific versus that team. But I even thought that Emmanuel quickly had some huge moments in that fourth quarter. And of course, Julius got big baskets in the third quarter as the game was becoming much more tightly contested. My hope, Charlie and Perk, is that this is a turning point for this Knicks squad in terms of the collective effort that was required and that was ultimately successful. We've had different guys go off. And yes, Evan was the highlight from a standpoint of scoring, but each guy, I thought, showed up in big-time moments, and this was a big momentum win.
Huge.
Well, let me make this clear, okay? Both of these teams right now is hot garbage, okay? So let's not overreact, because all the Knicks fans out here acting like they won the NBA Finals. That's the first thing.
Let them soak it in.
No, we got that.
So I'm going to talk about the Celtics. And you know what? I'm so happy that this happened on national TV, that the way they lost, because it's one team that I watch every single game, and that's the Boston Celtics. Mm-hmm. And it's time and time again that I have come on here telling y'all that they are who they are. This is who they are. So when I'm watching the game last night and I watched the Knicks get the lead down to single digits, I said, you know what? The Celtics are about to fold like fresh sheets, and they did just that. You know why I said that? Because when you look at the Celtics and you look at what they have done this season, they are the worst or close to the worst for us when games are decided by 5 points. Here's the problem that I have. Everybody in the Celtics organization is too damn comfortable, starting with the players. Okay, when you have role players down the stretch, like a Marcus Smart keeps shooting these ill-advised three-point shots, you have Dennis Schroeder dribbling the hell out of the damn basketball, and you're not getting the ball to Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown in the fourth quarter when it matters the most. I played with multiple Hall of Famers. Down the stretch when I was in Boston, we went to Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce. When I was in Oklahoma City, we ran a two-man game with Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant. When I was in Cleveland, Kyrie Irving, LeBron James, two-man game. Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum need to play two-man game. So that goes to show me it's too comfortable where? With the coaching position, Ime Udoka is too damn friendly. He does not hold these guys accountable. When you have role players doing things outside their body, that's a problem in itself, and that means that he's being too friendly instead of holding them accountable. Now, why is he coaching the way that he's coaching? Because he's too comfortable. Why? Because Brad Stevens is too comfortable as well. Like Wick Grospeck, Steve Pagliuca, what's going on? Like, this is the city of champions. We're not just settling for, oh, getting into the playoffs and losing in the first round. The Celtic Nation, the media, everybody around the New England area wants the Celtics to win what? It's all about championships. And here's the last thing I'm going to say.
Come on.
It's time to break Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown up. It's time to break them up, because if you go back and watch all the Celtic games, either Jason Tatum is having a good game and Jaylen Brown is struggling, Jaylen Brown is having a great game, Jason Tatum is struggling, their body language says that they don't like playing with each other, and all of a sudden you get to this point, and then Brad Stevens say, oh, we're just going to see. I mean, you know, we can't rush it. You better rush it, and the problem is that everybody in the Celtics organization is too comfortable.
All right. Well, no wonder Perk is in no mood this morning. The Celtics can't seem to get it together, but the Knicks sure as hell got it together. Last night was only the second time that they have been able to stage a comeback when they're down 25 points or more in the past 25 seasons. Their record overall, listen to this, this is kind of alarming. They are 2-229 in that regard. So last night was a big deal for the Knicks.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes. So they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's lectricebikes.com.
And now it's time for more hoops. And Monica back with us for some quick takes. Monica, the Suns are the first team to win 30 games after beating the Clippers last night. So what is the Suns' ceiling this season?
Charlie, the Suns are talking Larry O, trophies or bust. This is a championship caliber team. And I actually love the fact that they were just there last year. I think they're poised to run it back.
Yeah, got a lot of Momentum stacking up behind him. Next up, Monica, it's the Bucks versus Nets tonight. Get your popcorn ready, but remember, it's a Brooklyn home game, so no Kyrie. So, Monica, is this your Eastern Conference Finals preview?
I think it is, Charlie. I mean, the Bucks have had to deal with a little bit of injuries this year outside of COVID protocols. I think as this team gets healthy, they will only continue to get better. I love the addition of Grayson Allen and the role player that he's been able to be. The Nets, I thought the Nets could be special without Kyrie. Now that they have him part-time, I think that only makes them better. Now, we will see how much of a difference Kyrie is or isn't in this series ultimately down the stretch.
Yeah, maybe gives the team a little more energy for their home games. But lastly, Monica, Miami Heat forward Markieff Morris has missed 30 games since his skirmish with Nikola Jokic. He took to Twitter last night saying in part, quote, "It's a real injury. Imagine having a 300-pound sloppy fat boy run full speed and make direct contact with your spine. This is absolutely ridiculous." Monica, what is your reaction to this tweet?
Oh, Charlie, it's a little NBA petty here, but let's just make sure we tell the whole story. First, that sloppy fat boy is the reigning MVP. Second, that was not an uninitiated hit. I think both of these guys were in the wrong. It's unfortunate that Markieff is still dealing with this. Wish him well, but you got to tell the whole story, bro.
Monica, what did we do before Twitter? I have no idea. I don't even remember those
girl,
days.
Girl, right? Before right. Twitter, before Instagram, like who lived?
Who knows? Okay, Monica, thanks so much.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.